1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're going to go into the verse that we worked on in our memory yesterday. We're going to use that as our main verse for this morning. But I want you to listen to me, boys and girls. This is not... Just look up here. Don't worry about distractions. Just look up here. This is not the only Bible verse we'll be looking at. I have a whole lot of Bible verses I'm going to throw at you. So I would like for you, if you have a pen and paper, if you're going to write things down, write some of these things down, because I'm going to teach you this today. I want to talk to you today about this topic. You ready? Temptations. Temptations. What is a temptation? Hang on. Where do they come from? Hang on. What happens when you yield to temptation? What happens when you give yourself over to temptation? And then fourth, I want you to see, what is the Bible way, listen now, the Bible way to fight temptations? So I'm going to talk to you this morning all about temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says this: "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Let's bow and ask the Lord to bless our message this morning. Our dear, kind, and heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We are excited. We want to learn something from the Bible. We are thankful for camp, that we can be here this week, that we can have a lot of fun with friends and a lot of fun with activities and all the planning of the day. Lord, we just ask that as we look at the Bible, that you would speak to our hearts, especially in this area of temptations. Lord, that we can learn what it is, and what happens when we give in to temptation, and Lord, how we are supposed to fight temptation, how we can have victory over that. Lord, I pray you would quicken us to the truths of Scripture. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Sit up straight, nice and tall. We are still very interested in writing down names. Writing down names for our special prize box. And let me see here. Mr. Michael Bookhart, won't you come and distribute just a few cards to each counselor. Maybe two this morning. And each counselor will get one and put the camper. Now, if you already wrote somebody else's name yesterday, that's fine. If they're still good, write their names again. But if you want to spread it out, that's fine. That's up to you. I just want you to know, if you're listening, someone's watching, and if they take notice of it, they might just put your name in, and you might get a special prize out of the prize box and everything. So that's a good blessing. All right, so let's look at what the Scriptures say first. It says here, "There hath no temptation." So what does that word, temptation, mean? What does that word temptation mean? Hands down, in the Bible, the word temptation can mean two things. One, it can mean testing or trials and testing or suffering. That's one definition of the word temptation. The other word definition for the word temptation is the invitation to sin. The enticement to sin, or the solicitation to sin, or basically somebody who's trying to get you to do wrong. Somebody trying to get you to sin against God, to sin against yourself, or maybe to sin against your mom and dad, or maybe somebody who's trying to get you to do wrong. So there are two definitions. One means testing or trial or sufferings, and the other one means invitation to sin. In the Scriptures, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you. What does that mean, Pastor Bill? Nothing comes to you for which God has already allowed. The sufferings or the testings or the trials that may come your way, God already knows that He has the grace and the power to give you victory over your trials and your testings. Look, there were times when I was very scared of a math test. I'm not a bright student. I was never a bright student. And I was really afraid of math. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you here, your favorite subject is math? Just raise your hand. Wow, you guys are... I think people that love math are smart. I just think there's something about them. I just think there's something about math that just... Now listen, have you ever taken a test that you were afraid of? That you just was wondering, man, how am I going to do on this test? I'm just worried about it. Look, listen. God doesn't bring to you a test or a trial or a suffering that He knows. He already knows that you can handle it. The Bible says that. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, wait. The same is true with the second definition of temptation. God allows the devil sometimes to come and to tempt us to do wrong. But God knows that with His strength and His grace, we don't have to listen to the devil. And we don't have to do what the devil wants us to do as he invites us to sin, as he makes sin look nice. By the way, sin always looks nice. But you know what happens when you get into sin? You get beaten up by sin. Sin eats you up and spits you out. And so when we preach against sin, people are always like, oh, I don't like that church. They're hard on sin. Now I'm going to tell you, boys and girls, the truth. You ready? Sin is hard. Sin is harder on you than you can ever think of. And so here we are preaching against sin, and they think we're hard. Well, we're not hard at all. We're not hard, nearly as hard as sin is against us. So, the Bible says in our text, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. All right? So, let's see here. The word temptation means the invitation to sin. Now, think with me. I know this is Wednesday morning and we're all like, now I know we're kind of zoning out here, but look at me. The invitation to sin is not sin. It is not sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted too, but he wasn't sinning as he was tempted. You know when sin happens? Sin happens when you give into that temptation. When you give into that enticement or that invitation to sin. That's when you sin. But temptation, in and of its own self, that is not sin. But the yielding to it is sin. That's when sin takes place. So I want to answer three questions. Number one, from the Bible. Number one, where do temptations come from? Where do temptations come from? And in the Bible, there are three sources of temptation. You ready? There are three sources of temptation. Where does temptation come from? Where does this invitation to sin come from? All of a sudden, wow, man, I'm being enticed to sin, or I'm being solicited to sin, or I'm being invited to sin. Where does it come from? The Bible teaches us there are three sources. The first source and the second source are both from the outside. They're all from the outside of you. They're beyond your control. That's number one and number two. The third one is from within. It comes from inside of us. And we'll look into that later. But right now, I just want you to know there are three sources of temptation. All right? So, source number one. This one's classic. Everybody should know this. From the outside. The number one source of temptation from the outside is the devil. Is the devil. Now, don't just take my word for it. The Bible says it in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5. Now, I'm going to read the Bible, and I want you to, when we read the Bible and I tell you what the word is, I want you to repeat it. All right? Listen to this. Here it is. I want you to look for the word. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3, 5, and if you don't know where it is in your Bible, just don't worry about turning. I want you to listen. I'd rather you sit there and look at me and listen than flipping through the Bible and not getting there. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says this. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter... Say it with me. The tempter. Now that word, the tempter, is referring to Satan. It's referring to the devil. So the Bible says this. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. You know what Paul called Satan? That's good. Make sure you tell your friends to be quiet. Because it's time to listen, right? That's a very good thing to do. Because I think the devil's going to do all he can to stop you from listening. Now, Paul, the great apostle Paul, called the devil the tempter. Ooh, say it spooky. The tempter. The tempter. Look. One of the names of the devil is the tempter. How do you suppose he got that name? Well, I think that the devil is the tempter in that the devil comes and shows up and he tries to get you and me to sin. He makes sin look good. You remember the story of Adam and Eve? Was Eve supposed to touch the fruit? Was she supposed to eat the fruit? She wasn't supposed to do that. But the devil showed up and tempted her. And said, it's okay, go ahead and eat it. You're going to be just like God. God's trying to hold back something good. God doesn't want you to be like Him. They were already made in His likeness and in His image. Satan is a liar. And here he's called the tempter. Number one source of temptation is the devil. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, boys and girls. If I told you that there was a lion outside of this building, walking about seeking whom he may devour, can you imagine a huge lion roaring through this campus? And if you get out of this building, I mean, it would just jump on you and rip you up like nothing, like you were a rag doll. Now listen, there really is no physical lions outside here. Otherwise, we would lock the doors and we would give Alex to the lion. No, I'm kidding. No, we wouldn't do that. I'm just messing with you, Alex. No, we love you. We'll keep you. But there is a lion out there. And his name is Satan. And all he wants to do is rip you up and down. And he wants you to sin. And he makes sin look good. He doesn't love you. He's a liar. He puts thoughts in your mind. You ever wonder sometimes how you can think wrong? Well, sometimes he throws in some thoughts in your head. That's devilish. That's satanic. Every lie is of the devil. Every time you read the devil in the Bible, he still doesn't tell the truth. He is the father of lies. And what he's trying to do is this. Hey, come here and sin. It's okay to sin. Come and sin. Nothing's going to happen to you. Satan's saying something like this. Nobody can see it. Go ahead and steal. Nobody knows. That's the devil trying to get us to sin. That's the number one source of temptation. It goes on. The Bible goes on. The Bible goes on in Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. I want you to know that when the devil tempts you, if... Listen, boys and girls, look up here. If you have victory over temptation, Satan will leave you, but he will always come back. Temptations may leave you for a season, but temptations always come back. Now listen, boys and girls, you're in a week of camp. You're going to make decisions. God's going to give you victory. You're going to make choices that are right. God's going to speak to your heart about something, and you're going to have victory over some kind of temptation in your life, some kind of testing in your life. You're going to gain the victory over it. But wait a minute! Don't think that you're done fighting. Because when you're done fighting with Satan, he will leave you for a little bit and he'll come back. Temptations always comes back. When do temptations stop, Pastor Bill? I hate to tell you this, but as long as you're alive on this earth, you will always fight with temptations till the day God calls you home. Say, Pastor Bill, I already gained victory over this. But how come I'm still struggling with this? Because temptations come and go. And just because you got victory over it one time doesn't mean you ought to stop fighting. Luke chapter number 4 verse 13 says this. And when he, the devil, had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Satan departed from Jesus for a season. What does that mean? He left him. Jesus got victory. Satan was defeated. He fled from Jesus, but only for a season. Satan came back to tempt him again and again and again. And Christians, I'm trying to teach you something. Just because you have victory over this temptation, don't stop fighting. The temptation is going to come back. And then once you get victory over that, there's new territory to gain victory over. Victory over. But don't quit fighting. Don't think that you're above temptations. Look here. Just pay attention. Temptation, number two. Where else does temptation come from? The Bible says that temptations come from others. O-T-H-E-R. Others. Or you can put companions. Or you can write down friends. Huh? My friends, my companions, or others, other people can tempt me? Yes, absolutely. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says it this way. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 10. Proverbs 1:10 says this. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Bill? Other people are going to try to get you to do wrong. Listen, we're not even talking Satan now. We're talking other people. This is why it's so important for you to pick the right friends. This is why it's important for you to pick the right friends. You know why? Your friends can get you to do wrong. Your friends can cause you to sin. This is why we preach and teach, be careful who your friends are. There are people who can cause you to do wrong. The Bible says it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Here's another verse. You ready? Let's see. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 14 and 15. Listen to the Bible. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. You know the Bible saying there? Don't go in the way of sinners. Avoid it. Pass not. Pass away from it. Get away from it. The best thing to do, listen to me, If you have a friend that's trying to get you to do wrong, the best thing to do with them is to stay away from them. You say, well, Pastor Bill, I'm going to lose my friend. God will give you new friends. Friends that will help you do right instead of friends that will help you to do wrong. Man, stay away from them. They don't know how to sit in church and listen to God. Stay away from them. They watch dirty things on the TV and tell you all about it in secret. Stay away from them. They try to tell you in some little secret corner, hey, I want to tell you something, but don't tell mom and dad. Stay away from them. There shouldn't be any secrets that you hide away from mom and dad. Your mom and dad ought to be the people that you can talk to. You never should hide anything from them. They love you. Your pastors love you. If somebody says this, hey, come here. Come here. Let's do this thing. Stay away from those kind of people. But they're popular people. But they're really nice people. It doesn't matter. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 29. Bible goes on. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. That's what the Bible says. Stay away from people who are leading you in the way that is not good. Number three, the third source of temptation. And this is where it really, this will make sense to you. The third source of temptation, you ready? Is your heart. The third source of temptation is your own self. My own self. My own heart. My own self. And I want to show that to you from the Bible. James chapter number 1, verse number 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to this Bible. We're getting somewhere. I'm teaching you something now. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor!
Neighbor.
Of his own lust.
His own lust.
No, say it like me. Say it like me. Ready? Of
his own
lust. Now look up here, guys. Look up here. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Look over here. Of his own lust. You know what that Bible verse is teaching you and teaching me? It's saying this. We all have the capacity and the inclination to sin. Whoa, Pastor Bill, what are you talking about? The most natural thing for you to do is to do that which is sinful. Look, be honest with me. Did anybody have to teach you to be a pest? No. Let me ask you a question. Did anybody have to teach you to be selfish?
No.
Would you agree with me that selfishness is sin? One of my nieces, when she was younger, I have a niece when she was young, and I went over to their house one day, and I don't know what it was. I think it was a bag of chips or something. I opened up a bag of chips. I love chips. I just love a bag of chips. And I'm an equal opportunity offender. I will eat any chip. I do not discriminate on any chip. I just love chips. I just open a bag of chips. And my niece said this, Uncle Bill, don't be selfish. She said, now, don't be selfish, Uncle Bill. Don't be selfish. Did anybody have to teach you or me to be selfish? No. Selfishness is quite natural, isn't it? We are naturally selfish, aren't we? We naturally we naturally think of ourselves first. We naturally put ourselves first. It's very difficult to, and you have to be taught that. You know, when you open the door for others, that's not being selfish. When instead of pouring the water on your cup first, you look at the other and say, "Here, let me pour it for you." That's something you have to be taught. You know why? Because the natural self always takes care of self first. There is a natural inclination from the heart to do that which is wrong. It is quite natural. That's the sinful nature. The Bible talks about that. And don't you know that that is also a source of temptation? Our flesh? Our sinful nature? Now listen to this, boys and girls. Listen to this. Get this. Get this. This is so important. The reason why many Christians struggle with temptation, it's not because of the devil, and it's not because of others, but it's because of themselves. Our hearts already want to do wrong. And then the devil comes and he says, "Come here and do wrong." And we give our consent. And then here comes friends. "Hey, come here, let's do wrong." And in ourselves, we're already inclined. We have a proclivity to do wrong. We're already drawn away to do wrong from inside of us. And the point I'm trying to get you to do is think. Think if you will surrender your heart and fight temptations from inside of you, the devil and others will be greatly limited in getting you to sin. But if you don't fight the temptation from inside of you, you will always fall prey to the devil and to others. Look, if you understand what I'm saying? If you can take care of this, the heart, and learn to fight temptations from within, the temptations that come from without will be greatly reduced. If the devil comes to you and invites you to sin, listen now, and you decided to sin, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Can you look at God and say, "Oh God, the devil made me do it"? No. Who decided to sin? Self. That's right. You know what happens when you get into sin? The Bible says that you are hurt. You are drowned. That means overwhelmed. You are destroyed. And there is perdition. These are words. These are Bible words. And they mean injurious, overwhelmed by suffering, ruin, death, and loss. James says that lust, when it had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Understand that? When you give into temptation, now you're into sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Separation from God. Separation from fellowship with God. Look, let me ask you a question. When you get into temptation and you do what you're tempted to do and you're done with sin, you ever felt away from God? You ever felt like something's not right between you and God? You ever feel like that? Raise your hand. Whenever you get into temptation and you follow the temptation, you go into sin, you ever felt like something's wrong? Well, that's because the Bible teaches us that when we're drawn away of our own lust and we enter into that temptation and we sin, the last step is death. Man, there's something wrong. It's a separation of fellowship between you and God. Because death always means separation. That's what death is separation. That's what happens when you enter into temptation. So how do you fight temptation? Do we always have to lose against temptation? No. No, 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 no. I want to share with you one Bible verse that's going to really help you, hands down. I'm going to show this to you. James chapter number 4, verse number 7. The Bible way to fight temptation. You ready? James chapter 4, verse number 7. The Bible says this: "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I want this section of the group here, this section here, to say submit.
Submit.
I want this group to say to God.
To God.
You guys just got the first key to fighting temptation. Brother Greg, if we could just learn to submit ourselves, therefore, unto God, that's the first thing to do to fight temptation. I want this group here to say, resist.
Resist.
I want this group here to say, the devil. The devil. What are you supposed to do?
Resist the devil. God. Resist the devil.
What?
Resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil.
Now listen here. Listen here. This is where Christians go wrong. Many Christians, listen now, listen now. Many Christians do this. They try to do that. Is there anything wrong with that? Nothing. Except that's not what God said to do first. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? I just gave you the key to fighting temptation. Many Christians try to do this.
Resist the devil.
But they never do this.
Submit to God.
And the Bible didn't say just resist the devil. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to listen to the devil. I'm going to try to do that which is right. I'm going to do it in my own power. You understand your own sheer ability and power is corrupted? You need something more than yourself to fight temptation. Here's what the Bible says. You ready? No, oh, I want you to be ready. I want you look, when I do this, I want you to say it. Say it like you mean it. Amen. Oh, I'm snuffing with you. Alright, here we go. Ready?
Submit to God.
Boys and girls, if you learn, if you just learn that, the way to resist the devil is to submit to God. Learn to submit to God first. Before you resist the devil, you got to learn to submit to God. If you don't know how to submit, submit. What is submit? That means you come under authority. You don't just do what you want to do. You come under authority. You know what submit means? Do what you're told to do. Who are you supposed to submit to? Submit to
God.
Did God tell you to do things? Yes. And if you're not doing it, are you submitted to God?
No.
You're trying to fight the devil, but you're not even surrendered to God. It ain't gonna work. You've got to submit to God first. You've got to learn to come under authority. Then you can resist the devil. Now let me teach you one more thing. Last verse. Last verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22. This is the last verse on how to fight temptation. Listen up. Here we go. I want the girls to say flee also. And I want the boys to say youthful lust. Lusts. Flee also youthful lusts. All right. So here's the third key to fighting temptation. Flee also youthful lust. Ooh, say it with power.
Flee also youthful lust.
That's the third key to fighting temptation. You have to learn to flee also youthful lust. Look, hey, look, I don't think anybody here is a smoker or a drinker. I hope not. No, I know that's kind of funny. You're laughing. Pastor Bill. You know. But now listen. Let's say that this is alcohol. And let's say you have a proclivity or an inclination to drink that alcohol. You know what the Bible says to do when it shows up? You know what you're supposed to do according to the Bible? You're supposed to... Ooh, you guys messing me up. You're supposed to
flee.
Yeah. And that's not talking about that little flea. A flea. That's F-L-E-A. That's the flea. That's, you know, like a dog bitten, flea bitten dog or something. That word flee, F-L-E-E, what does it mean? Somebody tell me, what does the word flee mean? What does it mean? Flee, F-L-E-E. We're to flee. Wait there. Yes, very good. To get away from. To run away from. So if this is sin, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to flee. I'm supposed to get away from it. I'm supposed to submit to God, resist the devil, and flee from sin. Those are the three things I'm supposed to do. Now wait a minute. You know what some Christians do? They stand around thinking that they can fight sin. But God didn't say to fight sin. God says to flee sin. There's a difference. In your fleeing, that's the right way to fight it. But you better flee sin. I don't think anybody's a smoker here. I hope not. But if this was cigarettes, and it's there, and you have a desire to smoke, well, what are you supposed to do? Just stand there and say, I'm going to fight this sin. Oh, you're a fool. Because the Bible didn't say to fight sin. It said, flee. That means get away from it. If this was a dirty picture, a filthy, dirty picture, or a magazine, or a dirty website, am I supposed to just stand there and say, I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to resist. Only a fool would say that. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to flee. That's what the Bible says. So many Christians do this. I want to see how close I can get to it. I'm just gonna play with it a little bit. I'm just gonna sing like the world just a little bit. I'm gonna dress like the world just a little bit. I'm gonna act like the world just a little bit. I'm gonna look like the world just a little bit. But the Bible says to flee. I'm teaching you something today. You will not be successful fighting temptation if you don't follow the Bible. And the Bible says first to submit to God. Resist the devil. That you're supposed to resist. The devil. He, the devil, you can resist according to scriptures. But not sin. You don't resist sin. You flee sin. Only a fool will try to resist sin. Hey, let me show you. Let me tell you something. There are movies that you ought to flee away from. There are cartoons that you're supposed to flee from. You say, Pastor Bill, that's just a cartoon. If you knew what they were trying to get you to think, you know you're supposed to flee from it. How about you, boys and girls? You're just going to allow temptation to come in your life and be defeated, be a sad, sorry Christian? I'm sick of seeing sad, sorry Christians. You know why? It's their fault that they're sick, sorry, and sad. It's not somebody else's fault. Look, if you're a weak Christian, it's because you chose to be weak. If you're saved, God gave you the Holy Spirit. God gave you the book. This is everything you need to know about God. Everything you need to know about the Holy Spirit. Everything you need to know about the will of God. It's all here. You just need to give yourself over to this instead of temptation. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I want it nice and quiet. I want it nice, as quiet as you can be, please. I know we're just juniors and this is just camp, you know, and all that. You guys have listened very well and I appreciate it. I really do. I'm just humbled by the fact that God would have us come here and me be able to share with you something from the Word of God. But I know Satan's trying to fight and he's trying to do all he can to get you distracted from thinking about this. Because if you can overcome temptation, you can be a soldier for Jesus Christ. God will really use you. Now God will have to deal with you. He'll bring you through some things. But He can't use you if you're dirty. God can't bless you if you got sin. If you give in to temptation all the time, God can't bless you. He can't even answer your prayers. How many would say this? Pastor Bill, I've never trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's never been a time in the past when I prayed and opened my heart and received Jesus Christ into my life. Listen, quiet as possible. How many would say, Pastor Bill, today I need to receive Jesus Christ into my life. I really need to do that. Would you slip your hand up real quick? I've never trusted in Him before. Good. How many would say this, Pastor Bill? As I think of my heart, as I think of myself, I see it, Pastor Bill. I have an inclination or proclivity. I have a tendency to do wrong. I see it. And it's very easy for Satan or others or myself to just go into sin. It's very easy to do that. Pastor Bill, I'm asking you to pray with me. I want to start fighting temptations the Bible way. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. As best I know, I'm going to fight temptation. I'm not perfect, Pastor Bill, but I want to do my best. Lord willing, I'm going to give my heart and ask and dedicate that and say, Lord, help me fight temptations. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Flee also youthful lust. How about it? God will give you the victory if your heart's really honest. God will give you victory. And don't forget, just because you got victory in one day, that it's over. The fight is over. The fight is on until Jesus calls us home. Hey, I'm ready. I'd love for God to use all of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we open the invitation time, as You spoke to our hearts, You taught us some things about temptation. Help us to surrender, submit ourselves to You. Help us to resist the devil. Help us to flee when we need to flee, when we need to get away. Help us to do these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now listen, quietly, quietly, you can come and pray and dedicate your heart to God. Pray quietly. Come. The altar is open for you. If you need to speak to a counselor, you need to open up to somebody and you need to get some help. I don't know what kind of help you need, but you need help. You need to talk to somebody. You need to open up to a counselor. At this time, you can get up and go to the back and talk to a counselor. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to give me Bible. I need somebody to deal with me. Deal with me. Just come, go up. There you go. See somebody. God's dealing with me in a special way. I need help, Pastor Bill. There's a counselor for you, wants to help you. If not, just spend time, pray right up front. And if you're not, if you're in the chair, you pray. God's doing a special work in people's hearts and yours too. You pray.